There was an anniversary ceremony at the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. today. Susan Eisenhower, granddaughter of General Dwight D. Eisenhower, addressed the crowd.
The planning, the execution, and the unrelenting bravery of hundreds of thousands of men and women changed the course of history. Had the operation failed, the world would have been a very different place.
And veterans laid wreaths along the memorial's Freedom Wall.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now have the presentation of the wreaths. Presenting the wreath for the United States of America is Susan Eisenhower, Elliot Toby Roosevelt III, and Mr. Craig Simons.
Joining me in the studio are two veterans of the Normandy landing who took part in today's ceremony and in the wreath laying. Ralph Frias of Haymarket, Virginia. Welcome.
Thank you.
Program. And Eugene Levine of Potomac, Maryland. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
And I should say, in both cases, you're both PhDs, so I could say Dr. Frias and Dr. Levine. How old were both of you on D-Day?
I was 19.
I was 21, going on 22.
Both of you had very unusual tasks to perform 70 years ago. First, Ralph Frias, what was yours?
After Pearl Harbor, I enlisted because of my background in radio communication and languages. When we were sent overseas, I suddenly became a forward observer.
Forward observer?
Yes, a forward observer for the battalion. And this was an artillery battalion. And because of my knowledge of German, I was ordered to go forward and observe the German line and radio back. In addition to that, I was to observe cannon fire from our artillery battalion.
So you went over ahead of your unit.
Yes.
You were there to gather intelligence of what was happening on the beach.
There were, yes. We were to follow the Rangers in, interview, interrogate, German prisoners or anyone, you know, on the line as to what was happening, and then radio back to the beach.
And Dr. Levine, on D-Day, your assignment?
My assignment on D-Day was to take some weather observations after landing in a glider. I was trained as a weather observer, and then they made me into a combat weather observer. They decided that I would go in with a transmitter that was newly developed, a UHF transmitter. So I became the keeper of the transmitter.
Were you effectively under fire at the same time?
A little bit, but not, you know, not steady fire, not lots of it. People ask me that all the time, and I guess it was either luck or just being in the right place at the right time.
Dr. Frias, were you under fire during that time?
Almost continually. The Germans were consistently shelling. I had to go from smokestack to smokestack or from high ground to high ground, trying to avoid the shelling.
What, for each of you, starting with Eugene Levine, what is the most memorable moment of the landing or of D-Day for you?
Well, I landed with the glider that had this very precious radio in it. And the plan, original plan, was that another glider would land with a Jeep. And it just didn't happen because the glider with the Jeep was shot down. So there we were with this beautiful transmitter sitting in this field. And in from the side of the field comes this woman with a little cart that had milk cans in it. And she was looking for her cows to milk. And I felt so bad for her because with all this shelling and noise that was going on, the cows just disappeared. But I tried to explain to her in my broken French what our problem was. And she said, "I will take you." And I went with her cart, and there was a beautiful Jeep sitting there. Well, the Jeep belonged to an MP with the 82nd Airborne. And that incident just remained with me for the rest of my life.
And Ralph Frias, for you, the most powerful memory of that day?
Well, there were several, actually, but I think the horrendous noise suddenly overpowered any fear that you had. When you first went to the beach, it was you were frightened. Mm-hmm. I think everybody was. Yeah, because you saw people getting shot, you saw blood on the water and all that sort of thing. But suddenly the noise was so great that the noise itself overcame any fear of having to move forward.
We all learn in school how the history of the world was changed on D-Day. I'm curious how you think your own lives were changed by being part of it. Ralph Frias?
I hope so. I think it has. My wife tells me it has. I tend to be more considerate, having seen what devastation war can cause, mm-hmm. and the pain, I suppose.
Dr. Levine, for you, how was your life changed?
It was changed by the fact that I survived. We had been told that the chances of surviving D-Day were not great. Yeah. We even had to make out wills. Did you do that? They made
us
make out wills in advance. And having survived it, I realized that life is so precious.
We have been talking with both Ralph Frias and Eugene Levine, who were veterans of the Normandy landing and who took part in today's ceremonies at the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. Thanks to both of you, both for coming in to talk with us, and thank you very much for your service all those years ago.
Thank you.